Hello, and welcome to the PACE Pod. My name is Alex Clark, and I'm a program manager here at UCSB PACE. Today, I'm speaking with Dr. Sunny Kim, coordinator for the Applied Behavioral Analysis Program, ABA for short. She tells us about the different credentials involved in ABA work, employment statistics indicating the rise it has seen over the past decade, and of course, how UCSB can support you in gaining the academic experience you need to make your career in the ABA field. Take a listen. So we are here with our ABA certificate program coordinator. And why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your professional experience in the field?
Perfect. Hi, my name is Sunny Kim, and I received my PhD in education, specializing in autism spectrum disorder and also special education in 2014 from UC Santa Barbara. That same year was a big year for me because I also became a board certified behavior analyst, and I'm super excited to talk to you guys about obtaining your BCBA credential today through this podcast. With that said, I've been practicing behavior analytic work for a little over 10 years, and I've worked with hundreds of clients with varying needs from, individuals with autism spectrum disorder to, even working with my husband and trying to shape his behavior over time.
I think we could all relate to that. Great. So let's start with some foundational questions about the program and about the credentials. There are two different credentials in the ABA field, the BCBA and the BCABA.
Yes.
What do those acronyms mean, and how are the credentials different?
Perfect. So the BCBA stands for Board Certified Behavior Analyst. And in order to become a BCBA, you first need to have a master's degree or be enrolled in a program that offers a graduate level, like a master's degree, while you're also working towards your BCBA credential certification. BCABA stands for Board Certified Assistant Behavior Analyst. And with this, you need a bachelor's degree in order to be eligible to become a BCABA. So that's kind of the big difference in terms of just your degree. And then in terms of like the requirements, it's a little different, which is that something I should dive into right now?
Yeah. So yeah, let's go there actually. So maybe we can start with the BCBA and Perfect. What can you do with that type of credential?
Perfect. So that's a great question. So as a BCBA, well, essentially, whether you're a BCBA or a BCABA, kind of our job, our role is to really help improve and or address socially significant behaviors so that the individuals, the clients we work with, we can help them live a more meaningful and happier life. So, with that said, it's a kind of a great rewarding job, right? Because you're helping individuals maximize their potential, and we're just helping them be happier. And who doesn't want to be happy, right? With that said, the majority with the BCBA credential, what can you do with that? It's, the field has been around for quite some time, but it's really starting to pick up momentum. I would say within the last less than 10 years where I've really seen BCBAs branching out into other sectors. So what can you do with a BCBA credential? The majority of individuals with a BCBA at this point work with individuals with autism, where they work for ABA companies, where they primarily service individuals with autism. Part of that might be because there's a lot of insurance mandates. There's a lot of funding behind it through insurance companies. I believe the board, according to our board, the board's BACB, they estimate that about 60% of the jobs for BCBAs revolve around working with individuals with autism. Now, with that in mind, we are trying to kind of change the perception, well, not change the perception, but we are trying to branch out into other job sectors. So for example, I know recently, really within the last 5 years, a lot of schools are hiring BCBAs. A lot of schools are realizing, hey, these students have behavioral problems and it's really impacting the way other kids are learning. How can we address this legally without getting sued? Because that's kind of a big one. So schools are now really, really looking to hire BCBAs. There's also another discipline called organizational behavior management, where now a lot of companies, big companies, are hiring BCBAs to help with organizational piece from a behavioral standpoint, which is really kind of neat. And, you know, it's different, it's exciting. And with that, you're looking at it from more of like a corporate business perspective. Hospitals are also hiring BCBAs. So there's a lot of other sectors that are really starting to realize, wait a minute, BCBAs are really useful. Because when we talk about human behavior, you know, it's applicable to pretty much any field, any discipline. It doesn't have to just be individuals with autism. So you could really make a nice niche for yourself with lots. There's just so much room to grow.
That's great to hear.
And, you know, just to pull some statistics, because, you know, I love looking at data. Our board they hired a company to look at some stats and look at some numbers. And the annual demand for individuals holding a BCBA certification has increased since 2010. So like I said, within the last 10 years, we've seen a huge exponential increase. Now, the stats, it's going to alarm you, because when I saw the numbers, I'm like, oh my goodness. But since 2010, over the last 10 years, there's been a 1,942% increase from 2010 to 2018. So over about eight years, there's been close to a 2,000% increase in the need for BCBAs in the United States. When we just look at data from 2017 to 2018, they estimate that there's been a 127% increase, even just in that 1 year period. So, you know, the demand for BCBAs, it's alarming. There's a huge need for BCBAs.
So great. That's really good about the BCBAs. Now, could we transition a little bit to show some love to our BCABAs? And what they can do with their credentials? Maybe they don't quite have their master's or anything just yet. But what can a BCABA do with that credential?
That's a great question. So as a BCABA, you will be working under the supervision of a BCBA. So your BCBA is kind of like your boss. But you also have the ability to supervise what we call registered behavior technicians. So you do have some level of supervisory role, because within our model, it's a three-tier system, right? We have our registered behavior technicians. Those are kind of like the everyday, like the line therapists. Mm-hmm. Then we have the BCABA who supervise the RBTs. And then on top of that, we have our BCBAs. Mm-hmm. And so what can you do with a BCABA? You could essentially do pretty much everything that a BCBA can do, with the caveat that you're being supervised by a BCBA. So you could assist with conducting assessments. You could help provide parent education. So there's a lot of things that you can do. It's just that you would be reporting to the BCBA. The BCBA would just be supervising kind of your work. In order to become a BCABA, kind of, you know, you do have to, it does follow a similar trajectory in terms of getting your BCBA, which I'll talk about in just a sec, in terms of like, well, what do you need to become a BCBA or BCABA. But similarly, when we look at the stats for the job sector for BCABA, we've also seen a huge increase. So again, when we look at about a 10-year span from 2010 to 2018, we've seen about a 1,098% increase. So close to 1,100% increase, which is huge, right? And then when we look at just from 2017 to 2018, we saw a bigger increase for the need for BCABAs and BCBAs. So we saw a 184% increase for the need for BCABAs from 2017 to 2018. And when we look at the need for BCBAs as well as BCABAs, every single state in the United States reported a need for both. And now if I had to predict, I think the job sector for BCABAs is just going to grow a lot quicker than BCBAs, just because insurance companies are, you know, from a business perspective, it's cheaper to hire a BCABA than a BCBA. So the need for BCABAs is going to be a lot more demanding. If I had to make an analogy, it's kind of think of it as, you know, if we were to look at it from a medical standpoint, you have your doctor, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have your nurse practitioner. Think of a BCAB as you're like the nurse practitioner. You're not just a nurse, but you're like the nurse practitioner where you can make some of these important calls and important decisions. So it is a pretty important field as well.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. And I'll add one thing too, is that you're giving these statistics about these increases, and we've seen those increases in just our student enrollment in our courses over the past few years as well. So the demand is definitely out there, and the supply is trying to catch up. And we've seen that with our student enrollment. So and that's what makes it one of our most successful programs here at UCSB. So let's talk about that program here at UCSB. And maybe you can talk about how a person can prepare for the BCBA or the BCABA credential at UCSB specifically. What does that entail? And can you walk us through that process from like start to finish?
Perfect. So what I love about, and maybe I'm biased, but what I love about our program is it's completely online. And so we designed this program really for the working professionals. So, you know, most of our students, I would say the majority of our students have a full-time job while they're working towards their certificate or their credential. So in order to become eligible to take either the BCBA or the BCABA program, you need to complete the coursework, and BCBAs need, I believe, 315 coursework hours, and then BCABAs, I believe it's 210. I'll have to get you the exact numbers. Yeah. But you do have to finish the coursework. So what does that translate to? So BCBA track, we have 7 courses that you will fulfill, and then for the BCABA, there's 5 courses that you will complete. With that said, in addition to finishing the coursework requirements, there are, you have field work hours that you need to complete. So what does that mean? That means you are going to be out in the field accruing experience so that once you become credentialed, you know kind of what to do. It's, you know, there's one thing of just learning about it, reading the theories behind it, but it's a whole nother ball game when you have to actually implement and practice yourself. So you need to do a combination of both. So for the BCBA, you need to accrue 2,000 field work hours. And for the BCABA, I believe it's 1,000 hours. But again, I will give you those statistics, and our website will have that information.
Yeah, exactly. That was what I was going to add. It's all, you can find it on our website, and this podcast will actually be on the same site where you can find all that information as well.
So. Yep. And so it should take, you know, if you are working full time, you're maximizing the amount of hours, and you are doubling up on your courses, you should be able to complete everything, right, in terms of coursework as well as field work hours. For the BCBA, it should take about 2 years, maybe 2.5 years. And then for the BCABA, it should take you anywhere from 1 to 2 years to complete everything. You do have five, once you begin the process, you do have 5 years to complete everything and take the exam. So our board, our governing agency, does give you some wiggle room so that you don't have to do it right away. You have about 5 years to finish everything and take the exam. And some students, you know, will take their sweet time, which is totally fine. So once you finish the requirements, the coursework and the field work, you then apply. And once you become eligible to take the exam, you take the exam. Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, that was a good summary of how, you know, somebody could, you know, end up getting these credentials. It seems like, you know, a lot of work, but a lot of good work and a lot of rewarding work for an eventual, you know, great position somewhere. So, So I guess I'll ask, is there any final words? That kind of brings us to the end for today. Is there any final words you'd like to say before we sign off here?
You know, if you love making an impact in someone's life, you know, I think this is really the career for you. And like I said, it's such an exciting time to become being a BCBA or BCABA just because there's a huge need for it. And, you know, it's one of those things where there's always going to be a demand for one, you know, so.
Great. Well, thank you so much to Sunny. I think I can speak for all of UCSB PACE when we say we're so happy and thankful to have Sunny kind of commanding this program in the way that she does. So we feel very happy. And to you that, you know, that out there listening, we hope to see you in class and or at least to talk to you on the phone or over email. If you have any questions, you can always reach out to us at any time. So thanks for listening and we'll see you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.